do feel much better. It was like I fell into a very deep place. And I literally was groaning through the night. I kept him awake. I know I have never been in such pain other than one time before. But the Lord touched me. Jeannie called and prayed for me along with you, and he touched me, and he gave me a way through. But it was out of that experience that this message I'm going to give tonight is born. Sometimes we don't understand when we go into a trial, but God is sometimes working something. And so I wanted to speak on that, and then if I have time, I'll get back to closing out the great study of Babylon. I haven't forgotten that. I want to finish that. We find ourselves in the midst of the Acts 27 storm, but I do believe the word mist means in the middle, but I believe we're coming to a closure on this. I believe we're coming into different times, and at the time that the Lord stood down with Paul, there was no sun, moon, or stars for days. And Psalms 107 storm also, they had come to their wits' end. Now, if we're getting there, we're probably at a closure to the storm. And we're going to hopefully speak as the Lord has given us. All hope was gone. And then I thought of the little phrase we often use, it's darkest before the dawn. And I said, Lord, it was studying this message that suddenly I fell into a trial. And I think it was certainly worked in my life, I know. I want to consider all the typical meanings in the Acts 27 storm, and it just take me a minute. And you realize that each one of them turns out where God prevails. Amen. Not one of them ended otherwise. I'm thinking of Paul's natural journey from Jerusalem to Rome. He went to shore with the broken ship, but he eventually got to Rome, as the Lord said he would. And also the early church to the latter church, both. This has been a journey for the church. And that's what's also typified in Acts 27. I'll get there. And the early church started in Jerusalem. And it's going to end in Rome, except for a divine intervention. Ecclesiastical Rome. Now, you'll make more sense when we continue our study on Babylon. They are the ecclesiastical part of that great beast that's coming out of the sea. But all of them were heading down that direction, and it was that the Lord brought them through and had a divine intervention. The storm we're in is a divine intervention. It is. To awaken us, because we don't want to go to Rome or down into Babylon. We want the Lord, and there will be many through this time of restoration that are going to be spoken to about the heavenly call. And we're going to break that message, whoever has it, of the heavenly call, the heavenly kingdom, and it's going to be spoken under the power of the Holy Spirit, because there's not much time to change direction and to look up for your redemption rather than to look at some earthly kingdom down here. And the other thing, just we as a remnant, we are in a great storm. We have been for a period of time. And it is a time of restoration that I believe God has promised in his word that has caused this great storm. I do. Satan does not want the church to be restored to their heavenly calling, because that's where his kingdom is. So understand that is the reason, I think. I'm looking at this type of darkest before the dawn. And there are several types in the scripture. The first one is Psalms 40. And you won't need to turn there if you don't wish to. But Psalms 40 was one of the darkest times. This is a messianic psalm. I think it was also a Davidic psalm. He wrote it. But he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now that horrible pit was when our Lord went into the heart of the earth. One of the greatest trial of his life, no doubt about it. He was dependent upon God to raise him, his blood to be effectual, and it was, because the sin he had taken in his body were so many you couldn't even number them or count them. How do you take that in a cup and drink it into your very body and it not go in your bloodstream? But it didn't. That's a miracle. But nonetheless, he depended on his Father and his own effectual offering. And then I think we see a foreshadowing here in Psalms 40 when Jesus was brought out in resurrection, that it foreshadowed not only the great third day, that was wonderful. Resurrection was the most wonderful message ever given to the world. But we're standing also in times of the greater restoration, the greater third day. And this is a message that I believe we are going to carry. And I believe that it foreshadows Jonah, or Jonah foreshadowed Christ. He was in a deep place, but he was brought up on the third day, mirroring Christ's resurrection, mirroring what God is going to do for the church in this third day. Now, he needed the seventh day. That is the time of the great Sabbath of creation. But the day of restoration and the day of Christ have to do with Christ's first and second advents, the third day. Everything is about him on that. And so I know that there are deep places, and I do know there is a darkness that comes before the dawn. I do know that. And I do believe that the Lord is breaking a message to our hearts that we're going to carry, as I've already said. We are entering into the third day. We know that by the times the Lord gave us in John 2:19. He said, if I destroy this temple, speaking of his body, I shall raise up in the temple. I need to read it. And he spoke of his body. But it was no longer just his body, but every member of his body. Think about that. That's what the third day has to do with that particular great blessing. And so these times of restoration are going to be not only the birth of the church, the new birth of the church was dependent on his resurrection on the third day, but the birth of your body, which is coming forth now as the manifestation of the sons of God, will occur in this third day of Christ. So I thank him for that. Our Lord is coming in such great power that he's going to be able to raise the dead and quicken the living. And this is a major power we have never known before, but it's coming. Now, I want you to turn to John 20. I want to speak a message that the Lord laid on my heart in 2020, but I was never able to deliver it. But it was this message of Mary visiting the tomb. Mary came to the tomb on this third day. And it foreshadows now a bridal company. I come to the garden alone. And she came there to see the, not see the Lord. She came in unbelief because she brought spices to anoint his body. Now that may surprise you, but it doesn't surprise me. Even though the Lord has spoken to us, there's a measure of unbelief. We're working through it. Every single one of us are. And the hardest thing to believe that Jesus is not only be raised from the dead, but he's coming again on this third day, the greater third day. There's a mountain of unbelief in every one of us. And so as you look at the account here, it just simply says the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. Now that was not really safe for a woman to be out at that time, but she wanted to come early, and the sepulcher, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away. Now it says that she immediately was running to Simon Peter and the other disciples to tell him, they have taken my Lord away, and I know not where he is. She's still not looking for a living Savior. And then you learn later that something happened in between. Verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, at one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And he said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou, and whom seekest thou? Now she supposed him to be the gardener, and he very much was, because he was the last Adam. And he had come to undo the fall of the first Adam in a garden. And that's where she found him. So he was indeed looking for the last, the gardener, as it were, or for a gardener, but found out this was the last Adam, that he was alive. And you think of what's come to the whole human race since the fall of Adam. And there he's standing in that garden. And he is the hope of the world, the absolute hope of all the sin and suffering you see around you. Sometimes my heart just gets so heavy when I see people, especially suffering. It's so hard for me. But nonetheless, she came early. And she came at such a time that she wanted to know who he was, and she simply heard her name, Mary. Have you ever heard the Lord say your name? Maybe in one way or another. I have. And she turned, as it were, and she recognized his voice. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, and to my God and your God. Then that's when Mary Magdalene went to visit the brethren after this experience. Now, all I want to say is, this early revelation was before he even ascended. So she couldn't even touch him at this time, so it was not a full revelation. He had to take time to ascend up to the Father, and by evenfall, there were other women that came to the garden. Let's see if I can get that picture. These were several other women that came to the garden at that time. And so they were allowed to touch him. They held him by the feet. I think Jerry's going to make a message out of this, but in the same day. So speaking of time travel, you can figure that out pretty clearly, that he was able to go and be back again in just a moment. Now, I believe this is a type of a small remnant. And I remember in 2020 when the Lord was dealing with me on the third day, and it was so dark. It was just so dark. And I knew it was the third day, but it didn't look like it. It didn't feel like it. And then to add to that, we had this strange trial that encompassed us. And you think, Lord, what happened to the third day? Well, you know, the third day begins at midnight, technically. And Mary went when it was very dark. So you're gradually seeing how the sun comes in and different things, that it's a gradual revelation of the Lord. And so it was here that I know we began to minister the third day, and I thought, this is dark. And I said, Lord, where are you? Because remember, he left Mary right away. But he came back. So I wanted to say a few things, and that is, I think as a remnant, we have been willing to step out sometimes on things. And we have always acknowledged the feast dates. I think if you've been in this assembly, I don't think we've missed certainly any of the seven feasts except for one time. But I remember in 2020, that particular thing when the Lord gave me John 20, and I said, what is that? And I thought, well, the Lord is just going to appear in 2020. So much for that. This trial swept in, and now we're learning what it was against. It was against this greater third day. But we weren't prepared for the opposition that was going to come. We weren't. In 2021, I remember ministering, and this is going back, ministering the feast dates, every one of them, especially the spring feast, and I never felt such an anointing as I did on those feast days when we studied the four sides of Christ and the fourfold branch. Oh my goodness. I thought, Lord, you have to be coming. You have to be coming. And we did. We looked, we ministered those things. But then we realized when it came to the fall feast that year, I don't know if you remember, it's such a dynamic anointing on the spring feast, and I couldn't get a message on the fall feast. The only thing I got was Exodus 32 and 33. And that's where the Lord came down and saw Israel going around the golden calf. And that was a great sin, and as a result, he wasn't going to return to the whole camp. You can read that in Exodus 33. He was going to go on with a small remnant. Do you remember that? Yes. And this remnant is willing to separate onto him. And then 2022. Again, we ministered the feast dates. And this time, I felt like these feast dates have to fit into God's program somewhere. And so I began to minister 22, setting forth the feast dates again. I want you to know I see through a glass darkly, but I believe the Lord is opening some things to my heart. And I would never be dogmatic, but I would certainly say that these were proclaimed this year. We're waiting on the fall feast. Right now, we're ready to minister those starting in the Feast of Trumpets. And I think these are express messages. I do. But we began to feel even a greater opposition to us as we ministered these feast days through again. And we stopped and explained Exodus 32 and 33 and 21. But here we were in 22, and we're entering the fall feast. Now, what's so important to understand on the fall feast is you have to go back to the book of Acts and understand the importance of the Lord fulfilling all seven feasts at the first advent. You have to. Because that's the reason there were 120 in the upper room, and 120 of them stayed in Jerusalem, because there was 120 days, and you think about that, 120 days between the spring and the fall feast. And it wasn't until those fall feasts were fulfilled that the Lord permitted them to begin to expand out, as it were. And also, in those fall feasts, if you read Daniel 9, I wish you would turn there with me for just a moment. And if you do, you realize the 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, verse 24, and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Now, God did a finished work through our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't ever have to do anything for redemption again. To make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and then to bring in the everlasting righteousness and seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, or that can also read the holy place or the Holy One. And so at the end of those fall feasts in the book of Acts, the Lord had to finish all of them, and it was necessary for those disciples in Jerusalem to remain in Jerusalem. Don't move. Hold for this. This is what they were holding for. You know that this is true because it says here, he will finish that. He will bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, in a measure, that was the first 7 years in the book of Acts was an earnest of the millennial reign. That's what the Lord gave to them. So he had to finish this. He had to seal the vision and prophecy to anoint the most holy. I've already read that. But he became the anointed Messiah based in the new covenant. And he had to finish that work, both upon the one upon the earth, but he had to go into heaven and finish that work before he could offer the kingdom to Israel under the new covenant. And it was an earnest of their millennial reign. I just mentioned these because that's what the Lord finished here in these feast days. And so now that we're coming into the fall feast, I don't know exactly how the ministry of the word will go this year, but I feel it's going to be ministered fully and not something we remain silent. But I want to say this to you, that every time we get closer to something, you get a greater storm, greater opposition. Now, this is the opposite of our thinking, but it just gets so dark again, and we are standing in such a time as this now. I was thinking so much of this And I don't know any patterns in the scripture for the 7 good years except Daniel's 70th week. Do you? Except for Joshua. That was a 7-year period for Israel, and Joshua brought in that era when they were going to be 7 years and taking the land. Now, that's all the ones I know. And so right now, as we enter the fall feast, the Lord is finishing work that has to be done. And I suspect we're going to go into even a greater trial. I do. It's coming because the enemy is withstanding God's program going forward. He truly is. But I want to say this to you, that when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out in the spring feast. And so, the 7, I'm talking deliberately, but I don't want to say more than I should. If you're going to look to another pattern for 7 good years, we're going to have to look to Joshua. We don't have any chance, any choice. So that means these are not the 7 good years. I guess you noticed that when we stepped into 22. It wasn't the 7 good years. As much as many of us thought that should have started with the spring feast and should be consummated by the fall feast. But it wasn't. And now we have to realize that when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out, and I think they spent 2 years or more traveling the desert before they ever attempted the first crossing. And that first crossing ended with, you know, a great falling away of unbelief and the 10 spies. But if you were making a crossing, it would take 2 years at least to get out of the Exodus in the spring feast. And then we look that that's when they came out. And we've had many messages on God is bringing his people out of this world, out of the world system. He's beginning to do that. He truly is. But when you want to look for what is God going to do, then I have to look to Joshua. I have to. The 7 good years are there. That means in the spring. Now, am I seeing it this spring? I see through a glass darkly. I don't want a greater storm. But think when the Lord begins to break those 7 good years before it, there will be one of the greatest trials we've ever been through. I think you can see that if you look at your news today. And none of this is just going to go away with their hand like this. It isn't. We are in deep trouble. We're going to have to be delivered. And what will happen during those 7 good years is it is the greater third day breaking fully. You know, it's broken before, but third day is breaking as far as its purpose of bringing in the times of restoration. If that's true, we're going to see a great trial. We see it right now continuing, and it will surely come against those times of restoration. But there Joshua got ready to take them into the land. Did you notice when he went into the land? On the spring feast. That's right. They had the Passover, they had all of that. He went in at that same time of the year. So that has to be the beginning of 7 good years. Now, we're living in such a time that this could well be a word in season for us, with a warning that we are going to see some very turbulent times, because this is the enemy coming against the greater third day, against the church being seated in heavenly places, against the great Revelation 7 multitude coming out of this world and taking their seat. You have to know that the enemy is going to fight that with everything that's in them. And so I'm here saying, in my feeble way, that I do believe the fall feasts are going to be ministered in God, and know that the Lord has to finish those. He absolutely won't move until those are finished. But I'm looking now to that week in the book of Joshua where we're going to begin to cross into the land. And with that, of course, there's going to be a great trial to try to keep the church from getting out of here. I mean, a great trial. And I don't mean to frighten you on that at all, but where we're going right now, you know, things are not calming down. You know that. And just how the Lord orders all of that. But it is going to eventually break in the times of restoration. And I have to believe those have to be pretty close to the times. When you look at where we are right now, we're not in the seven good years now, I can assure you. And probably aren't going to get into those the rest of the year. But the pattern in the Word of God takes you back to Joshua. Those were exactly 7 years that he went in and believed for cleansing the land. And isn't that what the living church is going to do? And there's much more to that message. They're going to enter in. And at that time, the heavens are going to be cleansed accordingly, our part. Now, I do believe God has already cleansed the heavens, and our Lord has for the church that is sleeping. He has to have a place for them. They will enter in without much ado. And because the enemy cannot do anything, he cannot prevent them from going over. But I said this Sunday, he's going to target the living church. So that's where the battle is going to be. And the living church is, if Joshua is a type of it, and I have believed that for years, he went in and cleansed the land. They went to the central part, and that included Jericho. Think about the Jericho represents the great religious systems that are walled and all of that. Then he went to the south and finally to the north, and that was his way of going, but he cleansed the heavens, and they fell. He went in as the captain of the Lord's hosts told him. He said, are you for us or against us? I've decided, or not decided, I'm thankful the Lord is not against us. I'm thankful he's for you. If you have the Lord for you, who can be against you, it says in Romans. Who can possibly? And you see him, that is, he's standing. He's going to protect his people. He's going to bring us out of here. He truly, truly is. But I'd rather have him for us. And that was something that Joshua said, we have not passed this way heretofore. And so he took them over. There will be many messages that will probably break from Joshua in time. But I just wanted to break that message to you. I don't know. It's been in my heart since 2020. And I felt like the Lord gave me understanding of this when I fell in this deep trial. And it was so dark. And I don't mean to share my ills with you, but I literally groaned for hours. And it lasted almost 2 or 3 days. But I say out of that came this message. So if you're going through a trial, God is bringing something out of it. He will bring something out of it. Now, I can't tell you for sure, but that's what I see that has to match the times of restoration of 7 years. It's the only other 7-year period in the scriptures except for Genesis 41, the 7 good years and the 7 evil years. All right, I'm going to close right there. I just wanted to give that to you so we will be prepared for the fall as we continue. And we'll know now that God is going to move, but you're going to know that the enemy is also going to move in a way he has never moved before against us. But the Lord will bring us through. He's going to bring his church out of here. He's going to pour out the 7 good years. Wonderful, tremendous power of the Holy Spirit is coming. Well, if you didn't think that, how do you think God's people are ever going to get out of here? In the state even that we're in, it's going to take a tremendous outpour of the power of the Holy Spirit and the rain of the Holy Ghost, the Geshem rain of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be supernatural. The Lord will have to move supernaturally to get us out of this world. And so will the enemy. He's right there to keep us. And so the Lord kept his promise to Joshua. He says, every place the sole of your foot have tread, that have I given you. And when we get into those times, you're going to see that kingdoms and the invisible will begin to fall. And we'll begin to see the place for the latter church cleansed so that we can go home. Amen. And I think that's true. 7 years he cleansed the land and they occupied it. And I believe that is a foreshadowing of the 7 good years. I pray that is true. But with it, you also know what's in between. All right, I'll ask you to stand. I'm sorry, it wasn't as articulate tonight. Just had too many things, I guess, going on. Well, it's a hope. All I know is when I started studying this, I went into that trial. So I'm just telling you that I have a feeling it might be a word in season for the assembly from the Word of God, the pattern in the Word of God. I think you can hold on to this now, and we'll see. Lord, we thank you tonight. Help us to faithfully deliver your word line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Lord, we know that many of the prophets are speaking many of these things, but we particularly wanted it from the Word of God, the best we could see in your word. And we thank you now as we look forward. We know you have not forgotten us. You're going to move again. Amen.